This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
The Bears operating at their own 4-yard line. Manungai in the backfield. Loveland, the motion man, and flags fly.
False start. Offense number 62. After distance to the goal, first down.
They lead the NFL in false start penalties. Joe Tooney just cost his team 2 yards.
Score evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
That was the call on Fox. It is Score Evenings, hour number 2. Rami Makhlouf with you until 9 o'clock. Adam Studzinski on the other side of the glass. And you at 312-644-6767. Also coming up this hour, we'll talk with Nicholas Moriano of Marquee Sports and the Nicholas Moriano Show. He'll join me at 725 to talk some Bears. Right now, I'd like to talk some Bears with you at 312-644-6767. How much of these penalties, this penalty problem, are you putting on Ben Johnson and the coaching staff? 312-644-6767. That right there was the false start called on Joe Tooney. That was not a false start. And I'll start the conversation right there, because when we're talking about penalties, we're talking about refereeing. And that game Sunday was a terribly officiated game. Not to let the Bears off the hook for some sloppy play, but that was a really, really poorly officiated game. Everyone in the NFL saw DeAndre Hopkins push off and grab a face mask on that big third down on Baltimore's last drive. And that's a crucial play right there, man. So not entirely on the Bears. You could maybe take like 10% of all the penalties called against them on Sunday versus the penalties called on the Ravens. And the disparity between the two teams and how many penalties were called on them, you can maybe take 10%, and that's even being generous to the Bears and put it on the referees. Because on Sunday, 10 players combined to commit 11 penalties, 4 on offense, 4 on defense, and 3 more on special teams. So nobody gets off scot-free in this thing. Every phase of the Bears football team was sloppy, and a lot of it was like pre-snap formation penalties, false starts, things like that. Here was Ben Johnson talking about the discussion he's had with his football team about this.
How was that message received by your team leaders, your captains? And then what actions would you like to see them take this week to change those penalties?
Yeah, would like us to stay on sides. So yeah. You know, it's simple. It's discipline. You know, I think they're as fed up with it as everyone is in the building. And so they understand it's just not what good football teams do. And I think they're going to take ownership of it. I think we're going to be just fine.
It's not what good football teams do. It's really, really like you can't hurt yourself. And this wasn't just a problem on Sunday. That was the seventh time in seven games that the Bears committed more penalties than their opponent. You're just giving away yards, and you're giving away field position, and you're giving away points. It was the third time this season they were penalized at least 10 times, and the fourth occasion in which they incurred at least 75 penalty yards. And I remember John Madden used to say, for the kids out there, John Madden was a legendary football coach and commentator, and had a video game named after him. It's still a big video game, right? Studs, it's still Madden's still popular?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I stopped gaming a while ago. So you may have heard the name, but John Madden used to always say, you have 100 yards worth of penalties, which the Bears have done this year, I think on two separate occasions. You have 100 yards worth of penalties. You basically just cost yourself 7 points. You just incurred a football field's worth of penalties, and they weren't too short of that on Sunday with 75 penalty yards. And listen to some of these, dude. I was reading this today, and my head was spinning, in coming to the realization how bad the penalty problem has been for this Bears team this year. They've been flagged 72 times. 72 times in seven games. 64 of those have been accepted for 533 penalty yards. So again, to go back to the John Madden theory, if every 100 yards you're costing yourself 7 points, they've taken 35 points off the board in penalties. I know that's not an exact science. I understand, but roughly they've taken 30 to 35 points off the board. Only the Jaguars have been hit harder on a per-game basis, and it's not by much. They're averaging 9.3 enforced penalties to the Bears' 9.2. So it's basically a draw. The Bears have been flagged as many times as anybody in the NFL this year. A full 145 yards outside the top 10 of least penalized, with more than half the teams in the league yet to have their bye week. So that's a cumulative number. The Bears have had their bye week. Half the league has not. And still the Bears are nowhere near the top 10 in penalty yards. That's insane. And they have a penalty yardage margin, so their penalties versus their opponents, of minus 279. You're just giving away field position. False starts have been the biggest issue with 16 so far, including two more on Sunday. And like I said, it's not just the offense. It's not just false starts on the offense. It's not just guys jumping off sides on defense. You saw on the opening play of Sunday's game, on the first kickoff, you had an offsides penalty. You had another one on the Torrey Taylor punt where that was art. That Torrey Taylor punt was art. Like you couldn't have run down there and placed it better with yourself. Torrey Taylor puts the ball right on the 1 yard line, and you got a guy who's lined up 1 yard too deep. And again, I said this in the first hour when talking about Caleb Williams and his progress, where he is versus where he should be, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not jumping off the Ben Johnson bandwagon. I'm not. But this was something, like, the Caleb Williams thing, it's complex. There's a lot of nuance in evaluating where a quarterback is versus where he should be. It's hard. It's like those are murky waters you get in when we have that discussion. And that's why I said, if you missed it, and by the way, I'll take your calls on that. Is the Johnson-Williams pairing where you thought it would be? 312-644-6767, if you want to get in on that, but we didn't have time. This is less murky. This is less nuanced. I remember when Ben Johnson was hired and OTAs were going on and then training camp started, and we heard so much about the tone and the tenor that Ben Johnson was setting, and this increased attention to detail and culture and discipline and it's the same damn thing again, man. It's the same damn thing. And he, in that soundbite that we just played, he says, you know, and I don't think he's shying away. I don't think he's deflecting or passing the buck when he says that he's asking his team leaders to step up and sort of nip this thing in the bud. But that was supposed to be like, that should have all, if your team leaders are the ones who are supposed to take the ball on that subject and run with it and sort of enforce that, that should already be established. Like, we shouldn't be sitting here in week 8 going into week 9 of the NFL season and he's still asking guys to take ownership of it. It starts with him. It starts with him and all this stuff that we heard in the offseason after he was hired about the different culture and the discipline and the attention to detail. Like, if you've set the tone, if you've set the culture that attention to detail is something that's going to be hammered and emphasized for this football team, and your message is going to trickle down from your team leaders to the rest of this roster that this type of stuff is unacceptable and can't happen. How are you the most penalized team in the NFL? Well, behind the Jaguars by 0.1, how are you nearly the most penalized team in the NFL 8 weeks in? And it's not like you piled those up at the beginning of the season and so you're still low, ranking low in that department. No, this is consistently a week-to-week situation and a week-to-week problem for this football team. Again, 7 times this season, they've been the team that has committed more penalties. 3rd time this season, they were penalized at least 10 times. 4th occasion in which they incurred at least 75 penalty yards. Ben Johnson has got to wear some of this, and he is a first-year head coach. There's going to be some learning. There's going to be some. We talk about Caleb Williams' development. Ben Johnson needs to develop as a head coach, and maybe he needs to. I don't know if he even can, but maybe he needs to emphasize this that much more. This attention to detail. Like he said, guys are lining up wrong sometimes, and they're just getting away with it. So that means that it's happening even more often than what would constitute an illegal formation or some other procedural penalty that a flag would get thrown for. Guys are in the wrong place and they're getting away with it. That means that on top of being the most penalized team in the league because guys are moving too soon or lining up wrong or whatever the case might be with a lot of these pre-snap penalties, there are other occasions where that's happening, but it's just not a penalty. Guys are just in the wrong place, and they somehow get away with it in the sense that plays are still successful, and they're still able to move the ball down the field to some degree. This was one of the first things that I thought Ben Johnson and his staff could check a box off for. The discipline and the smarts of this football team. And I do just got to wonder, and I'm going to get into some Ryan Poles discussion coming up at 8 o'clock, if maybe, and this was something I talked about in the offseason when talking about how much we can expect Ben Johnson to fix in one season, and I tried to tell people that one head coach or even a coaching staff doesn't fix the multitude of problems that you have to have to lose 12 games, to lose 10 straight, 2 years in a row like the Bears did, that maybe there's something deeper when it comes to this roster. And I don't want to, because it's insulting when you say a team is dumb or they're not intelligent, or so I'll just say maybe this is a roster full of guys who are undisciplined, are not football savvy. Like, I don't know how to put it without just sounding like a complete jerk. I don't mean to insult anybody personally. You know what I mean? But when we're talking about stuff like this, Studs, what word can I use to say that this roster is full of guys who are just going to get penalties, and there is no message that a coach or a coaching staff can preach enough for that to change? I don't want to call it a dumb roster. What word do I use to say that this is maybe not a problem that Ben Johnson can fix, because this is just a team that's full of guys that are going to get these procedural and pre-snap penalties?
I think in this context, this is what I like to think of it. You can go ahead and say that there's just some dumb players, and that doesn't mean you're literally calling them dumb. When I say it in that context, I'm saying they're football dumb sometimes. Or I think there's a multi-level explanation here. I think that Ben Johnson this week talking about his captains, like calling out his captains, say, hey, we need to fix this, is probably his level of exasperation, like saying, I don't know what else to do besides telling them to stop doing this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, clearly, like, I think we both agree, and many people agree, Ben Johnson's really smart. And I think that he has since day one been preaching this stuff, and it's still happening. And so he's probably fed up and has gotten to the point to say, guys, this needs to stop. At some point, if you're a coach, I don't know what else you do besides tell them to stop doing it.
Stop now, moving, yeah, before the ball is snapped. And, like, what are we doing?
I think there is also, like, again, multi-layers. Like, they're still, I think, probably getting used to what this offense is. It's a nuanced offense with a lot of moving parts, and that is causing troubles with where people line up and cadence issues, etc., which is not on any one person. And then we'll take a pass interference that happened in this last game.
Dude, I'm fine with the pass interferences. Well, I'm fine, yeah, with the hand to the face.
Well, like, this is the point I want to make here is that Nick McCloud called for a pass interference while he's trying to cover Zay Flowers. It's like, okay, that's just going to happen when you have a guy that isn't normally on the field for you trying to cover a really good receiver. You know, so some of those penalties are that. It's just guys that are playing due to injury getting called for penalties when they're outmatched, essentially.
Even if it was Jalen Johnson out there getting a pass interference, or a Montez Sweat getting a hands to the face penalty, like penalties that happen over the course of a play, I understand that. Guys get beat, so they grab somebody. Guys' hands slip off a shoulder pad and up into a face mask, so you get a hands to the face. It's the procedural and pre-snap stuff that, to me, says, and you said it, so I'll say it, and there is no real better way to say it, that makes you a dumb football team. You know what I mean? When you don't know where you're supposed to line up, when you don't know what is illegal in terms of lining up before a snap. And I couldn't sit here and tell you every intricacy that goes into legal pre-snap formation, and if a guy is half a yard off the ball, then it's a penalty. I couldn't tell you every little thing that goes into it. It's complicated. But I also don't play in the NFL. You know, that's their job to know it, not mine. And when you don't know it and a team consistently doesn't know it, I do start to go, is this just a dumb football team, or how much of this is on a Ben Johnson? How much of this is on coaching when it carries over from the Eberflus tenure to the Ben Johnson tenure? Because he's been preaching this. He's been trying to set this tone of focus on detail and discipline and knowing where you're supposed to be. That drives me crazy. Guy, human error is fine over the course of a play, but you just don't know where to line up. You can't not false start and move before the ball is snapped. Like, that to me is stuff that should be able to be fixed, and when it can't get fixed, it's one of two things. The coach isn't preaching the message effectively, or you just got a roster full of guys that aren't football smart on some level. And it drives me absolutely up the wall watching it happen.
Real quick before we break here, Rami, yeah. Great text from the 815. They should use shot colors for people who commit pre-snap penalties at practice.
I think the Players Association would have something to say about that. I think that would be against NFL policy, and the Players Association would file a grievance.
Probably, but it would fix the problem, right?
Yeah, for a week at least, and maybe they're conditioned after that week to not do that anymore. I'll talk about this and all things Bears. Nicholas Moriano of Marquee Sports and the Nicholas Moriano Show. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this. It's the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
We're moving the ball. We're not scoring points as often as we'd like to. So I kind of felt it since the start of the season is when we get the first down, we're able to move the ball really as at will, if you will. And so we're just not resulting in the points. Our red zone percentage is down. We need to score more touchdowns when we get down there. And then if we had two more three and outs here this week that, once again, if we get the first down, we're in good shape.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
And I'm your host, Rami Makhlouf, for the evening with you until 9 o'clock. We'll get into some Ryan Poles discussion coming up at 7 o'clock. But joining me now on the Circus Sports Hotline is Nicholas Moriano. Download the Circus Sports app today. You can catch Nicholas on Marquee Sports as well as the Nicholas Moriano Show. Nick, how are you this evening, my man? Oh, do we have Nicholas? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you
there
doing?
You are. What's up, doing? Nick? Good, man. How are you? How frustrated were you watching that Bears game on Sunday on a number of levels? We've talked tonight about Caleb Williams' performance and what I was just talking about before the break. All these penalties, especially the pre-snap penalties, Nicholas, that was a frustrating game to watch on Sunday.
Absolutely, because it's the same old story that we've been seeing throughout the first seven games of the Ben Johnson era, these penalties that keep reoccurring, stopping those drives from maybe potentially being touchdowns and having to settle for field goals. So you're seeing the same issues popping up despite Ben Johnson's coaching staff emphasizing that it needs to be cleaned up. The players talking about it themselves, but still you're seeing the false starts, the illegal formations, the lack of attention to detail, even though Ben Johnson's been all about the details ever since he got to Chicago.
So that being the case, Nicholas, and this is exactly where my mind went, where your mind just went, and wondering, like, how does this happen when you have a coach who all we heard all offseason was discipline and attention to detail and change in the culture at Hallis Hall? Like, do you look at it and go, well, he's failing in his messaging that they need to pay more attention to detail? Or do you look at it and go, man, maybe this is just an undisciplined roster and there's not a lot he can do about it until he's able to cycle some guys off this roster?
Well, here's how I look at it. I think when you think about what this season was going to be, obviously there's a lot of newness, right? There's four new players now on the offensive line in Ben Johnson's offense that is extremely detail oriented. It was going to take time regardless. So when you're seeing some of these false start penalties happen, the illegal motions in the beginning, you kind of understand it, right? This is a team that's still learning the nuances of what Ben Johnson's asking from all of these players. And for Caleb Williams going on his third offensive coordinator in two seasons, like, it was going to take time. But if you're seeing the same mistake happen more than once, then I do have to look at, like, how is this being coached? And it's ironic because I a few weeks ago, I asked Declan Doyle about one of Colton Loveland's OPI calls. And I basically asked Declan Doyle, what else can Colton Loveland do to avoid that? They submitted the call. It sounded like they submitted the call to, you know, the NFL and basically said, we're going to teach it the same exact way. So there are some of these calls that are, I think, just blatantly going against the Bears, but you are still seeing some of these issues. But I want to stress this. When you have so much newness in an offense that is as detail-oriented as Ben Johnson's offense is, it's going to take time. But you can't lose every single game so far, the penalty battle, which the Bears have done. So you just need to see some incremental improvement. And, you know, the Bengals, Cincinnati, and week 9 is going to be the first opportunity for them to do that.
Talking with Nicholas Moriano of Marquee Sports and the Nicholas Moriano Show. Is that the same sort of mindset that you take in any hiccups in the development of Caleb Williams and this offense as a whole? Are you able to show that same type of patience, Nick?
I think you have to be patient with Caleb. And, you know, I think just me watching the game, this last game against the Baltimore Ravens, initially my first reaction just watching it as it all played out live was that this was a terrible game, right? Just, I mean, you see the penalties that happened, you see the interception and the intentional groundings, and it's just a lot on the quarterback. And look, those plays are, you know, ones that he has to improve on. But I think even within that game, though, like what Ben Johnson said on Monday, there were signs of improvement. Like, think back to the third down play with DeAndre Swift, the only touchdown drive that the Bears actually have in that game. That's Caleb Williams checking to that screen pass over to the left flat because he sees something in the defense, is able to identify it, get his guys in position to make that play, make a 20-plus yard play happen because he identified the defense. So there's good and bad within every single one of these games. But for Caleb, like, one of the things that I wanted to see in that game against Baltimore was just the ability to make passes on the move. Because he had missed a couple of those throws in the previous 2 weeks. What does Ben Johnson do right at the start of this game? Gets him off play action, naked bootlegs, and he's able to hit Colson Loveland for a completion. He hits Roma Dunze a couple of times on the run, and you're starting to see him kind of stack those types of plays. And I don't know if that's a challenge from Ben to Caleb. Let's see if you can make those. And it did, but obviously, you take that and then some of the situational things that happened in that game. That 20-plus yard run, I don't see why Caleb's not getting out of bounds to save a timeout. His explanation after the game was to get more yards. But situationally, I just want to see him improve on some of those things. And I know some of the intentional grounding penalties, Colson Loveland's the choice route, I get that one. But just situationally, I just need to see Caleb start to make the smart football move so that you can keep these drives going and not settle for field goals.
What is or who is your gauge or measuring stick in trying to figure out if Caleb Williams in his development is where he should be 8 weeks, 7 games into Ben Johnson's tenure? Are you looking at year one Caleb and seeing where he's made improvements? Are you looking at other guys that were drafted in his same draft class? What are you What are you measuring Caleb Williams' development against for you to say, yeah, he's where I thought he would be, or he's ahead of it, or he's behind it?
Well, I think it's a dangerous game to go and compare him to some of the other players in the draft class. But you know what? I think it's all fair for everyone to do it, though. Like, that's who he's always going to be linked to, the Drake Mays, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, those kind of guys. But for me, I think as you're kind of looking at this 2025 season, like, it is going to, you know, even like the completion percentage, I know everyone talked about 70%. Right now in the NFL, there are only 8 guys that have a 70% completion percentage at this point in time. So I know it's a number they want to get to, but it's not even a number that a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL are at right now. And Tyler Huntley's one of the 8. So it kind of just shows you what what other quarterbacks are doing right now and what that metric says. But for me, I do want to see the sack numbers continue to kind of be where they're at. Like, it's a lot lower than it was last season. The sack avoidance that Caleb Williams brings to an offense, keep doing that. It's getting the ball out quickly. And one way that I will noticeably see progression from Caleb is if there's another opportunity where Rome Odunze is going over the middle of the field and there is a defender trailing, the safety's also there, and you're flat and your running back in the flat is open, I want to see Caleb take that running back in the flat. I know he said it was a good read, but you heard Ben Johnson after the game. You heard him on Monday as well. He wants that ball to go to the check down at the running back. You start to see more of those kind of plays where he's getting positive yards instead of catastrophic turnovers. That is progress. That is keeping the offense on the field and giving yourself a chance to maybe go win some more football games.
Talking with Nicholas Moriano of Marquee Sports and the Nicholas Moriano Show. And I know you got an episode of your show right now up on YouTube. Folks can go and check it out. Talking about Deo Odengbo, 3-year, $48 million contract. Can we chalk this up as a swing and a miss by Ryan Poles with the defensive end?
You know, it's really trending in that direction. I know it's 8 games, or it will be 8 weeks in going into week 9 here, but Deo Odengbo was paid a lot of money to be that opposite presence of Montez Sweat. Right now, he's tied for the same amount of quarterback pressures as Dominique Robinson, who's played half of the defensive snaps that Deo has played. And, Dominique Robinson actually has 2 sacks compared to Dio's 1. So when you're looking at what he brings to this defense, I'm watching the All-22 and the coaches table. I'm like, what is his go-to move? How is he looking to approach some of these tackles and win? I'm not seeing something that is repeatable and something that he can go to beat some of these guys. And they needed, especially with the injuries that they just sustained on the defensive line with Dominique Robinson, Shamar Turner out for the season, you get Austin Booker back. But for a guy like Deo Odengbo, he needs to be doing a lot more than what he has shown so far through these first 8 weeks of the 2025 regular season. And maybe things change against a Bengals team that, you know, allows a lot of pressure to be had. If you have a more mobile quarterback and Joe Flacco playing, maybe that helps Deo. But just the small sample size that we're seeing thus far, I'm not feeling too confident with that right now.
To a lesser degree, and he's had some flashes and some big plays. He had the strip sack on Sunday. But given what you gave up for him and then what you paid him, couldn't you say the same about Montez Sweat? I mean, the pass rush is a problem for this Bears team, and I think it starts at the top with those two guys, with Sweat and Odengbo.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think when you make that trade to go get Montez Sweat, and, you know, initially it was a nice surgeons for the defensive Tez effect, as Eberflus like to call it. It hasn't been as consistent as you need it to be. And, you know, a lot of these teams, these opposing teams, are going up and facing the Bears, and it's not like they're doubling these edge rushers right now. They're kind of asking you, well, let's see if you can beat our one-on-one at the tackle and edge positions. And more times than not, these offensive tackles are getting the job done, keeping the defensive linemen at bay and allowing their quarterbacks to kind of survey the field. But yeah, I think you could say the exact same thing, maybe not to the same degree as Deo Odengbo, but like, Montez Sweat's being paid a lot of money, and he is your number one edge rusher. And yet the numbers don't reflect it. I don't even think opposing teams look at it that way, where, like, yes, you need to block 98, but I feel like we can get that job done. So it is something that, where I think for Dennis Allen, he has to continue to find a way to run some of these stunts, these twists to get people open. And actually one of the plays that Dio did have an impact on, it was taken away by a penalty from Nick McLeod. They had a nice stunt between Dio and Tremaine. Tremaine comes around the edge, is able to hit the quarterback, force the incompletion, but then you get the penalty by Nick McLeod. So I think that might be what the recipe for success is for this defense, is trying to be creative with what you're doing and maybe not drop Montez Sweat in coverage like they did on one of the first third downs in the game. I don't think that's the recipe for success when you're trying to apply pressure on the quarterback.
Nick, we're about a week away from the NFL's trade deadline. Do you expect the Bears to be active, to make a Montez Sweat-like move? Is Trey Hendrickson auditioning for the Bears this Sunday when they take on the Bengals?
You know, to be completely honest, I doubt the Bears go like all in on something like that. But, I mean, when you're looking at this defense, you're down your three starting corners. You're still having trouble applying pressure to the quarterback. Maybe they make a small move. I don't know exactly what that would be, but I would be shocked if a guy like Trey Hendrickson were to somehow be in a Bears uniform, you know, by the trade deadline. But the Bears do need help. And at this point, is Austin Booker your savior? I hope not. I hope the Bears aren't viewing it that way. They do need some support. But, yeah, I doubt that the Bears make a big splash here at this trade deadline.
That's Nicholas Moriano of Marquee Sports, and check out the Nicholas Moriano Show over on YouTube. And my guest for the last few minutes on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Really appreciate the time and the insight this evening, Nick. Have yourself a great night.
You too. Thank you.
And he joins me again on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And Football Talk on the Score is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays. With the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus, watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the Week 9 matchup between the Bears and the Bengals. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The Bulls off to a hot start. What does it mean? What does it all mean? We'll talk about that right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
The Score.
128-123, Bulls, 7.7 seconds remaining in regulation. Johnson, far sideline, Boots on the ball. Johnson in play. far corner. Young, 4-3, rimmed out. Rebound, Trey Jones. Over the midcourt line. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 3-0 for the first time since 2021.
Score evenings. Weeknight 6 till 9.
He's just the best, man. Chuck Swirsky with the call on the Bulls Radio Network and right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score, your home for Bulls basketball. Rami Makhlouf with you this evening. And by the way, Nicholas Moriano, I should say, our last guest for the evening. That means open phone lines and text lines for you throughout the rest of the night at 312-644-6767. And how much stock are you putting in this hot Bulls start? 312-644-6767. As with that win that you just heard the final call from over the Hawks, the Bulls now 3-0. And as Chuck Swirsky said, the first time they've been 3-0 since the 2021 season. And look, don't take what I'm about to say out of context and go run with it and say Rami said the Bulls are going to win the Eastern Conference. That's not what I'm saying at all. Okay, let's just start right there. Okay, I don't want to see me being misquoted or taken out of context later on by somebody here on this, whether it's a host or a caller or a text or whatever the case might be. Just hear me out, okay? Because I do put some stock in what I've seen from this Bulls team this season, and here's why, man. Have y'all seen the rest of the Eastern Conference? Were people following and paying attention to what was going on in the Eastern Conference as last season was concluding and then this season started? By the way, the Bulls first place. Right now they'd be the one seed if the playoffs started today. So just gonna put that out there. But I look at this. Yes, exactly. Yes. Sound the victory horn. Bulls are in first place in the conference right now. I look at the East and I don't see anybody who really scares me. And honestly, the first three teams that the Bulls have beaten already this year, Detroit, Orlando, and Atlanta, are the epitome of what I think is going on in people's analysis and predictions of what the Eastern Conference is. Because those are three teams in the Pistons, the Magic, and the Hawks that I think a lot of people got out over their skis a little bit with and thinking that these were, like, I don't know, the next big things in the Eastern Conference. And I just don't know that I'm ready to go there with any of those teams yet. Cade Cunningham, very good. Paolo Banchero, very good. Trae Young, very good. Are any of them great? Are any of them going to be the best player in this conference anytime soon? Not unless Giannis is going somewhere. And so I look at the Eastern Conference, and in addition to those teams, I look at the Cavaliers, who looked like a paper tiger to me all season last year, and then were shown to be a paper tiger in getting disposed of quickly by the Indiana Pacers in the second round of the playoffs last year. Speaking of the Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton is out for the year with that Achilles tear he suffered in the playoffs last year, and they lose Miles Turner in the offseason in free agency. The Knicks made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They have a new head coach. The Bucks, they have Giannis and then a lot of question marks around him. I don't see anybody in the Eastern Conference or any teams in the Eastern Conference that make a clear-cut favorite or a clear-cut 1-6 in terms of how the chips will fall by the end of the season. And what this Bulls team did in the second half last year, and I know it ended unceremoniously and quickly with another play-in loss at the hands of the Miami Heat for the third straight year that they suffered that fate against the same team. I understand that people looked at a lot of what we saw in the second half of last year as fool's gold or some kind of mirage, and a lot of people were saying that, you know, they were facing a bunch of teams that had nothing to play for. They were either already out of the playoffs or they were teams that kind of had their playoff position already locked in. But I don't think you can dismiss everything that we saw in terms of the steps that this team took forward last year. And so I take that, and I take that along with the landscape of the Eastern Conference, And I go, you know what? Why can't the Bulls finish top six and not be in the play-in again next year? Why can't I look at these first three wins of the season and say that there's something real and legitimate here in the sense that they can play with these teams, man? I don't think – now, are they in the same class as the Cavs or as the Knicks? I think those are probably your two clear-cut front-runner teams in the Eastern Conference. And then, honestly, I'd probably go the Bucks after that. I know a lot of people aren't giving the Bucks much of a chance and have traded Giannis 14 times from that basketball team over the last 5 years, and yet there he is still there doing Giannis things for the Milwaukee Bucks and in a Bucks uniform. But after those three teams right there, and honestly, those three teams don't even jump out to me as like, oh yeah, that's a force to be reckoned with right there. I think the Bulls, after those three teams there, why not? Why couldn't they be in the same class as an Atlanta or an Orlando or a Detroit who they faced this season, or other teams in the East that people are putting in the play? Man, there are still people buying into the Philadelphia 76ers, who are the all-time what-if champions of the NBA. What if Joel Embiid could stay healthy? What if Paul George could stay healthy? What if Ben Simmons 3 years ago could hit a jump shot? It's been what-if for the Philadelphia 76ers since they started the quote-unquote process out there. So you tell me if I'm off here, and I'll take your calls in the next segment if you want to line up or shoot me a text, 312-644-6767. Am I crazy to put some stock in what I've seen in these first three games and saying that the Bulls could be middle of the pack? The Bulls could be a 5 or a 6 seed in the Eastern Conference this year. And I don't think that what we saw at the end of last year was a mirage. I don't think that what we've seen at the start of this year is something you can just chalk up to, I don't know what, luck, what or just you could win a game on any given night against any given team in this league. I don't think it's just that simple. I think the progress that you saw on the development of a Giddey, of a Kobe White, of a Matis Buzelis, I think it's real, man. I think what we saw last year is real. Not real in the sense that I think they're coming out of this conference. Not real in the sense that I think we can talk championship in Chicago anytime soon. But real in the sense that they could be in the mix in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. Not play-in picture, playoff picture. Tell me I'm crazy and tell me why. At 312-644-6767. By the way, it is Blackhawks and Bulls season on the Chicago Sports Network. Visit subscribe.chn.com to sign up for your 7-day free trial of their all-access plan. Over 300 live games per year. Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. And I saw that Bulls game last night, highest rated programming in the short history of CHSN to this point. So people are tuning in. People are checking out this team. Is it just an entertaining team, or is it something more than that? Do you put some stock in this Bulls team? You want to have that discussion. I'm right here for it at 312-644-6767. And more Bears talk coming your way. Are we filling out Ryan Poles' report card already for the 2025 season? Because I got some thoughts. We'll talk about that right after this. It is The Score Evening Show. I am your host, Rami Makhlouf, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.